Hello, and welcome to the Negative World Podcast, the podcast about video games by the Nintendo fans at NegativeWorld.org. This is episode 68, and we're fucking up the intro.
Keep it in. Keep it rolling.
I will. We are recording this on Wednesday, August 20th, 2014, and I need to do a little shout-out and a happy birthday to my newborn... I should not pause there. My newborn cousin, second cousin, that made no sense, Caleb Alexander... My cousin and best friend has a son today, so that's pretty awesome, and I just want to shout out to him, though he will not understand these words for like 3+ years.
Woo, Caleb!
Yay!
So that said, I'm not here alone. I mean, obviously, I don't do impressions that well. So, who we have with us? We have we have my co-host, Joe. How's it going?
You ready, Steven?
Yeah. Joe? I don't know. We don't have that down. The Ballroom Blitz is not happening tonight, folks.
Ooh.
All right!
Let's go! That's a little premature, because we don't have the guests.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think we need to start every show by butchering a great 80s song. Or what?
I think it's the 70s.
70s? Yeah.
70s.
Just a song from before our time.
We should have each done a line from the bridge, like progressively higher and higher.
So okay,
big comeback for Waynesville.
Yes, yes. You know, we could do a character piece. We could do a podcast as characters from Wayne's World, or
All right.
Who gets to be Rob Lowe's character?
Can I just do Cary Grant?
Cary Grant. Okay, sure. Can you introduce yourself as Cary Grant there,
Mr. And Jeff? You can take your Zuzz water softener and actually myself as Cary Grant.
Hi!
Oh, I can't even do toe. My voice is so shot.
Where's Amy? She can do
toe. She's around somewhere.
Okay. Well, anyway, everyone listening, welcome. Thank you for
joining us. Who else is with us?
Who else is with us? We have our first guest, Anand.
Hello, everybody. I'm here to talk about the Zoe Quinn issue, the most important issue facing gamers today.
The what issue?
Wow.
Aren't we talking about that?
You've been away from the internet, apparently.
Who, me?
Yeah.
This is huge, dude. That's so huge. It could be the end of gaming as we know it.
Probably will be, if it hasn't ended already.
It's already torn Negative World apart into two pieces.
Okay.
What?
I must have just had a hell of a day, because, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe
we'll talk about it
in the
way later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That is
way after... recording has stopped.
That's
forever.
Called a teaser and then non-teaser. And anyway, who else do we have? We have a fourth person on the podcast today.
We have me, the old man from Zelda, also known as Lou.
Welcome, Lou. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, you're welcome.
See, you made me think. I thought about... see, it's not funny because I thought about it prematurely, but starting the podcast as a character from the Mighty Boosh. Kind of maybe, think of that. But I won't do it. I'll save it for another show.
You know who loves the Mighty Boosh?
You do?
Mrs. Mustache.
Really?
It was also present. Yep.
Oh, she was wearing that shirt.
What shirt?
Mighty Boosh.
Oh, okay.
I'd never heard that before. And then when you said it just now, I was like, that sounds kind of familiar. It's because she was wearing that shirt over the weekend.
Everybody go watch the Mighty Boosh. It's a now-ended British show. And it's hilarious and weird, and it should make you smile and also scratch your head in confusion, but it's really freaking good, so trust me. Anyway, that said, we have a podcast to do. It's about video games this time, and we don't have much of a structure. The plan is to talk about a couple of quick things and then jump into some now playing. And then go, I want to hear about you three who were at the Negative World Meetup, New York edition, 2014.
Rochester,
yes, Rochester, New York. There's all sorts, there's,
not
New
that
York,
other shitty
New York,
place.
There's
yeah.
Buffalo, New York. There's a lot of New York cities, so thank you for correcting me. Anyway, so we're going to jump in and get this ball rolling. I am excited to hear about your stories, though, because there's a thread on Negative World right now where you can read about some stories, and And you'll be able to hear them from the voices themselves, so that's exciting. That said, I wanted to bring up something really quick. Joe, I know you're a big Pokemon fan.
Uh-huh.
And recently on one of the shows that we last did, I said that I was pretty much poo-pooing on this Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire uh-huh. business, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm changing my tune. I don't know what the
what?
Hell. I don't know why.
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't know why.
Dun, dun, dun.
I finished Pokemon, Pokemon X, and I was kind of disappointed. And then I suddenly wanted to play Ruby, or whatever the hell, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. I was looking at some stuff on it, and like, it seems like they're actually continuing to improve on the same formula, of course. But I mean, am I crazy? I mean, obviously you're a little biased, but...
What is the question exactly?
That I'm asking? Just
are you crazy?
In general?
I'm not a psychologist by trade. I'm
you're not a licensed.
No, but I mean, are you excited for this game? I mean, tell us again.
Mostly just because this is the final generation that I've
never played. Right.
Yeah, so I've never visited the Hoenn region, so to speak. And not that, you know, let's face it, it's not like it's gonna be like, oh man, I'm walking over this pre-made mountain region. It's so different. But, you know, I'm kind of intrigued by the whole, Team Magma, Team Aqua stuff. And just to, you know, see the personalities of the gym leaders and stuff like that.
That was one of the things that actually kind of turned my head a little bit was seeing how, they've kind of updated those.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I don't know what to, you know, I don't really have much to compare it to. I just have heard people talking about the little updates, the little changes to the characters. Very slight, apparently, but noticeable at the same time.
Yeah, well, traditionally, I've always waited for the third iteration in the Pokemon games, like get all the bonus features and stuff like that. But the last couple times they haven't done that. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's been no Pokemon Gray, no Gray 2, no Z.
No, just in our hearts. I'm just currently in a state of I'm gonna hate these
Pokemania,
games, but I'm also really excited to play them too. It's I don't know. It's weird. Are either of you looking forward to the next Pokemon game, or I don't peg you guys as Pokemon players, if I remember correctly.
Well, you don't peg us, Steven, if that's true,
mm-hmm.
as Pokemon players. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a Pokemon player, really. I've sort of dabbled here and there. It's actually pretty fun. It's a pretty impressive series in terms of the battle system and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like rock, paper, versus scissors, versus like 10 other things. But I don't know. I'm just waiting for the... I was kind of hoping that this one would be like the Ultimate Edition X or the next one or whatever. But it seems like they still don't have 3D in the towns or the pyramid.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest gripes, yeah, is that 3D is still spotty, just whenever they feel like it.
Yeah, I'm waiting for 60 frames per second 3D towns. Then I'll jump back in.
I don't know why that's not possible either. You know, what's up with the engine or what... I don't know. I mean,
some
of the other games do great graphics, 3D.
Like Mario Kart can pull off 3D and... There goes Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, there he goes. We'll try to get Joe back on the line here shortly. We're having some technical difficulties, but Lou, are you still there? Okay.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Oh, he is.
Do yeah. not scare Gaslight me like that.
I just had it on mute.
Oh, okay. were you cursing all these profanities at the name of Pokemon? Is that what was happening? You didn't want to spoil the podcast.
Yeah, I'm not a big Pokemon fan.
Yeah, I didn't think so. More of a Zelda guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
I'm more of a Bumpy's Party fan. Speaking of Peggy.
Well, we'll hear more about that shortly. Let's take a quick break, try to get Joe back in the show, and then we'll come back and we'll do some now playing and see what's going on. back and we have the full cast again. Let's see how long this internet connection can hold out. Or, you know, place your bet, see who's going to go out next. I mean, might be me. Well,
then I'm going to bet on Joe.
It could be a good drinking game.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time someone leaves, take a drink.
That'd be great. Get your alcohol out now. Speaking of alcohol, actually, that doesn't relate, but Anand, you have some games you've been playing.
Well, I was drinking, but yes.
Kool-Aid, you know, yes. Warm glass of milk, I don't know, whatever you're drinking. But you've been drinking some of the Kirby Kool-Aid, right?
I have, actually. My nephews were over at my house a couple of weeks ago, and in my continuing quest to indoctrinate them into my favorite games, because I have nobody to play them with, I showed them Kirby Air Ride. And have you guys played Kirby Air Ride before?
Nope.
I've wanted to, though, believe it or not. For a guy who's not too into Kirby, I heard that was a really good game.
What are you not too into Kirby?
Oh my gosh, I have to go through this again. Yeah,
Philistine, Steven, how could you dislike everything Kirby? Kirby is like a symbol of
I goodness. Don't. I freaking love the music. I think the character's adorable. I just find the games to be very uninteresting in most cases.
How about that new Clay one? It's Clay, Steven. Claymation.
I'm psyched for that game, and I am afraid of being disappointed, but I might buy it.
Somebody said, was it you guys who were talking about, like, yeah, but the thing that looks kind of choppy.
That was me.
It's supposed to look like that, Steven.
I realized that
Claymation.
I realized that afterwards. I thought they were just going for the aesthetic. I didn't realize that they were going for the actual animation part of it.
Of course. Have you seen Clash of the Titans?
No.
Release the Kraken. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that happened.
It did happen. Alright. But we're not going to talk about
it. So anyway, yes, that does look cool, but you were playing an older Kirby game.
I was playing an older Kirby game. Actually, yes, it was an older Kirby game called the Kirby Air Ride. And the reason I bring it up is because, like we were just talking about, Smash Bros. 3DS has an exclusive mode called Smash Run. So do you guys know what it is?
No. Tell me more.
Yes.
I will tell you more.
I do want to know more, yes.
It's basically exactly the same as Kirby Air Ride's City Trial mode. So in Kirby Air Ride, what happens is you have like this up to four player kind of open world, and you can basically drive your vehicle around. Everyone starts in a star, but it's kind of like GTA. You can like jump out of your star and get in different vehicles, and there are certain vehicles that aren't even in the single player. And basically you're breaking boxes and getting power-ups. And the power-ups are like extra speed or extra strength or extra whatever, like floating ability or heavier, you know, like extra heaviness or something. And you can get power-ups and you can blow up each other's carts, and then they have to start from zero, no power-ups or whatever. So essentially, you're powering up your cart, and you spend 5 minutes. Everyone spends 5 minutes powering up their cart in the way that they think is best, probably just grabbing whatever you can see. And then at the end of 5 minutes, there's a random game, and you don't know what the game is going to do. So you could have gotten like tons of weight, and then the game will be like floating the farthest, and then you'll be screwed. But it's usually something like a battle or some kind of race or something like that. So essentially, you actually change the characteristics of your actual cart. Like, even if you have a cart that's kind of slow or whatever, if you get tons of speed, then you can make it super fast in the final game. And it's kind of interesting, because you can change the physics of the whole game. Like, not just a little, like a lot. Like River City Ransom, where you can kind of, like kick a crate into somebody and kill them if you use enough pepper steak.
Hmm.
Nobody knows about that?
No.
No, I haven't played it.
I've never played.
Oh, my God.
I wanted
River City Ransom.
Yeah.
Oh, River City Ransom, yes. I'm sorry, yes, I played it a bunch.
Peppersteak.
Yeah.
Nah? Okay. But anyway, so essentially, Smash Run is the exact same thing. So basically, you could take Bowser, and just by killing people and killing bosses and killing enemies and stuff like that, you can get power-ups, and you can have like a super fast version of Bowser. So then you could fight at the end against the other three people. And your character will be totally different than the character actually is in the normal game. And that's sort of like what the Smash Run mode is about. And City Trial is actually a ton of fun. And I think Smash Run looks really fun for the same reason. And, I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I hope people go back and discover City Trial. Like, people who saw that Smash Run, they immediately saw that it was just like City Trial because the icons are the same also. And I don't know. It's pretty fun. My nephews are getting into it too. It's a pretty fun mode. I think that'll be the go-to mode in 3DS Smash Bros.
Cool.
Does that sound fun to you guys or no? I was gonna force everyone to play Kirby Air Ride at the meetup, but I don't have time.
I'm into it.
Next time.
Well, I mean, I played Smash Run at that Best Buy event, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. And I didn't, I mean, I was just grabbing everything, and of course I wasn't used to what the icons were, what they meant. And in the end, I mean, I don't think I did very well, but I think I would still enjoy it. I like the idea of it and the possible depth and everything. And that was another reason actually why I thought that Kirby's Air Ride would be pretty cool, is after the fact I heard that Smash Run was inspired by it, and I said, oh, well, if that sounds cool, this very well might too.
Yeah, I just think that's an interesting idea, like being able to change the actual physics of the game and the way the characters move and stuff like that in a dynamic kind of way that changes every single game. I don't know, it's pretty fun for Kirby Air Ride.
Yeah.
And the other game I was going to talk about, which I also introduced into, was Cul-de-Sac Saga, which is on 360. And it's sort of like Monopoly / Fortune Street, except it's actually fun.
Ooh. Fighting words.
Yeah.
Don't tell Rob that.
Yeah, I kind of already did.
Yeah, I was going to say, let me guess, that came up during the meetup?
It did, yeah. But I didn't bring it to somebody.
So that's why you left early, right? You left the whole town early?
I had a fight about it. And so basically, it's like Monopoly in that you land on a space, and to occupy or buy that space, you put a monster down on it. And so if somebody else lands on that space...
So like the energy drink, or...?
Basically, something like that. Okay. The Viper, or... What's it called? Venom? Yes, so basically you have all these different classes of monsters, kind of like Magic the Gathering. It's Monopoly. That's pretty much the elevator pitch, I guess. And so you put down, like, a Kraken, say, on a space, and if somebody else lands on it, then they can either pay the toll, which is, like, energy, or money or something like that, or they can fight it with one of their own monsters, and there's cards that are power... And so it's like cards, right? You have cards. Oh. And there's power-ups and swords and armor and stuff like that. And if you land at certain spaces, you can, like, level up your things like a Monopoly and build hotels and houses. If you get multiple things of the same color, you can also, like, power up your things. Or you can move monsters to other squares to kill the monsters in adjacent squares. And it's pretty awesome. And it's actually pretty fun. And the reason I brought it up is that the most recent version of Cul-de-Sac is actually released on the 3DS.
That does sound fun.
Yeah, it is pretty fun.
When did that come out?
That came out, like, maybe a couple years ago, and it was actually a pretty big hit, I think, in Japan. And then Nintendo has never localized it to this point, so...
Maybe of course, that's why I've never seen it.
Of course, so maybe in this era of waning, you know, 3DS first-party software, maybe they'll localize it or something. If they did, it's pretty freaking awesome. It's, like, online, and it's pretty suited to a portable game also. You can win more cards and stuff, and it's really fun, actually. I would suggest people to pick up the 360 version, and to lobby Reggie, even though... he's an unfeeling, inhuman monster to bring over to Japan.
I mean, do you have any preferred import shops or anything? How do you obtain stuff like that when you do?
Well, now...
You don't have it on the 3DS, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing, is that the 3DS is not region-free, I guess. Like the DS and the GBA.
Right, that's right.
So you'd have to have a Japanese 3DS, like branded as like a new PS, like, a lot of 3DSs.
Yeah, I think he wears them on his belt and they just dangle, right?
Yeah, he has a clip.
he just pulls them on. That is what's not, I mean, obviously, Brandon is a really nice guy, but it's for a Nintendo gamer, it's a plus that he carries a bunch of 3DSs on him.
It is, although we couldn't convince Rob to partake of our handheld fun during the meetup next time.
Did you have it? Well, I guess we'll talk about that later, but that means did you guys still get to play some handheld games?
We did, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
Standard kind of stuff. Although, the 3DS doesn't have nearly as much single-card multiplayer stuff as the DS does. Maybe just software in general. But yeah, the DS, there are a lot more DS options.
When I came to Chicago, what was it, back in April, we had the same problem, didn't we?
Yeah, we had the Mario Party or something.
Yeah, but we didn't really play any handheld stuff. Well, you and I did, but as a group, I mean, there really wasn't anything else.
I think we played Four Swords, didn't we?
Oh yeah, okay. Well, but that's a download title too. That's not like a solo.
Yeah, it's DSi as well. So that's what I'm saying. Like for DS stuff, there's a lot of like local multiplayer kind of stuff. But 3DS is a little limited, maybe just because of the quantity of software overall. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we did play some handheld stuff, and it was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what I've been playing.
Okay. Joe. Just making sure you're still here. All right. that answers that question.
I'm here.
Lou's here, though.
Yeah, buddy.
Hopefully we'll get Joe back on the call shortly. Lou, so you're up next. You've been playing a game. I don't remember if I talked about this on the podcast because my brain is just scattered, but...
I honestly can't either.
Yeah, I mean, but still, I'm glad you're bringing it up, because in case, whether I did or not, it needs to be said. Tell us about the game you've been playing, man.
Well, ever since the last podcast, I think Shovel Knight came out around then. Mm-hmm. So I played that, beat it, and that's pretty much the only game I've been playing besides Mario Kart 8, which I now have, over 150 hours logged into.
Wow.
Mostly all online.
Wow, yeah, well.
Yeah, I have no life.
See, no, that's a pretty good life, man. It's all right.
It is. That's the way to live.
It's all right.
Your Mario Kart is really fun online, actually. And smooth.
Your avatar on Skype here is you holding a beer, and you play Mario Kart for 150 hours. So, I mean, that's a pretty good life, I gotta say.
Yeah. And I'm wearing velvet in that picture, by the way.
Is that velvet?
Even nice. Better.
Yes.
Right. It's crushed velvet. Velour, maybe. Ooh,
well, it might be velour.
Nice.
We should probably not talk about something that the fans can't see.
All right.
They can just picture it.
Yeah, there you go. Picture the old man from Zelda holding a beer in a crushed velvet/velour shirt with his left hand on his hip and confidence in his eyes.
Make it
yeah, I got a lot of that.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Your eyes are like 3 pixels big, though, and it's blurry. But anyway, let's move on to... back to the games you've been playing, though. Let's go back to Shovel Knight. I mean, I beat that too. I guess I 100%ed it. I don't really remember.
Did you guys get it on 3DS?
I did not.
Yeah.
That's good. I played it on Wii U.
Good question on it. Yeah, I played it on Wii U as well.
And the speakers were bumping, man. I had that bass up loud. It sounded awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You bump up the bass on the Wii U? Oh, I thought you meant the gameplay.
Oh, I actually have a, like a sound system hooked up to the Wii U.
Yeah.
So it sounds pretty good.
Hmm.
It took me about 7 hours to beat. I didn't 100%, get all the music notes or
Okay, I knew there was something you could collect. I didn't do that either.
I got roughly like 75% or more.
Yeah, I think I was close to that. It was at least above 70, maybe not necessarily 75, but I mean, did you actually seek them out, or were those just what you found?
I tried to seek them out when I could.
Yeah, I think they were. They were, pretty well hidden, but also in pretty obvious places for a lot of them.
Yeah.
So you kind of come across them. But it was okay. I was okay with that. I wasn't disappointed that it necessarily wasn't an issue of discovery, in terms of like being a little detective, but it was still like a random reward you would get throughout the level. And so I think that helped me keep going, I think.
Yeah, it was fun to explore.
Yeah.
So I'll say that. The game, like I said, 7 hours. Mm-hmm. It was just the right amount.
7 hours is pretty long for it. Was $15 or something.
Yeah. And you could actually go back and play longer too. Like you could try to go through an entire level without using a checkpoint, or you could try to go without dying, all that other fun stuff to get the achievements. If you wanted to. That's not my bag, but for others it is. What else?
What'd you think of the music?
Oh, the music was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean that was
In fact, we had the Big G and Smurd staying at my house for the meetup, and they sampled it because they were curious about it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest takeaways they had was how tight the gameplay was and how awesome the music sounded. So we got another couple sellers of the game right there. They're going to buy it eventually.
I kind of love when music sells a game. That's pretty awesome. And that kind of happened on the Euphonic Episode 1. Last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because Joe was talking about Sonic Colors on there.
And you bought it?
What's that?
Oh.
And you bought it?
I didn't buy it. I almost did. But I know that a few other people on the forums did buy it after they listened to the song / heard him talk about the game. So
it's actually a decent game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I still wouldn't mind picking it up, actually, based off that recommendation.
I'm sorry. That's a lie. There's no decent Sonic games.
This is the one
shots
I
shots fired.
Including the Genesis games? I would mostly agree with you, except for this one exception. do you guys know about the stretch goals and stuff? Is that things that they're still going to do with the game afterward?
Mm-mm. Oh, wait. So, I did, but yeah, I don't really remember, so refresh my memory.
I guess they're going to keep updating the game for like a year or something like that until they get everything in. So one of them is local multiplayer on the Wii U version.
Cool.
Yeah. And do you know about the 3DS Street Pass functionality?
I knew it was going to have some, but I didn't know what it was going to be, so I didn't. That was pretty much the main reason I didn't go with the 3DS.
Yeah, I'm still kind of trying to decide which platform to get it with, because the 3D and the Street Pass functionality would be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it's like a little battle level, and there's gems in it. So it's like sort of play by mail, but it's a platformer, like an action platformer. So you basically grab the gems and swing your shovel or whatever, and hop on things, mm-hmm. and the other guy does as well, and like your ghost sort of runs at the same time as his ghost, and they interact with each other as if you were playing at the same time. And then, you know, somebody wins and gets gems or something, I guess. It's kind of cool. It sounds kind of cool, at least. Mm. Maybe not. I don't know.
Anyway, back to Shovel Knight. Started Bogarting with your damn Sonic.
That was Shovel Knight. I was talking about Shovel Knight.
You're a liar.
No, he was.
I thought the gameplay was actually very tight, easy to control. It was actually fun to control.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good combo of, I don't know, DuckTales and I don't know how you would describe the shovel swiping.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if it needs necessarily to, well.
Zelda 2. I can't think of a comparison.
No, not Zelda 2. Although Zelda 2 was very prevalent in like the movement and in the enemies. So it was like Zelda 2, DuckTales, and
Mega Man.
Yeah, there's some Mega Man in there, yeah. Well, that's what was so freaking wonderful about it, is the thing was like this mishmash of some of the greatest games of that generation, and it wasn't like doing it to, you know, I don't know, win our hearts and then actually be a shitty game, but they actually learned lessons from all these games. I feel like they actually studied these games, knew what made them tick, and then put it all together.
They did a very good job.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's got to be one of my most satisfying purchases I've made in a long time, where, like, no regrets whatsoever. You know, no.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. And, I mean, and again, it was over after, like, I think my runtime was probably close to yours, and if not, maybe a little bit longer, but it seemed perfect. Perfect length, perfect content. I mean, it delivered, so. But continue.
Had you guys checked into the Kickstarter, or you just bought it straight up?
I did not. I did not.
No, I was hesitant because I didn't really understand Kickstarter at the time, and I wanted to, but I didn't end up doing it. I don't know if they had the do it through Amazon option at the time, and now that Kickstarter can work through Amazon, I'm a bit more eager to jump in on that kind of thing. My first one was Mighty Number 9, so which I believe this was before that.
And are you guys fans of, like, Way Forward, since these guys came from Way Forward, I guess?
No, I mean, actually, you know, I considered back in the Shantae, but the Shantae didn't really, appeal to me enough to warrant my donation. But this game did, so I just, and that's more of a, I guess, so I can't say anything about the companies, it's just more a factor of the content of the game and everything.
You want more shoveling in Shantae?
Yeah, I needed more shovels in Shantae.
Did you play the DSi game, actually? DSiWare?
The Shantae one?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
It's pretty good. It's like maybe one of my favorite games of that year. You should check it out if it goes on sale or something.
What is it, like just a platform thing?
It's basically like a Metroid-y platformer, but kind of self-contained. It's about 10 hours long. It's probably pretty similar to Shovel Knight, except instead of levels, it's like one big world. Is Shovel Knight one big world?
No. Well, Shovel Knight is designed... You start on an overworld map that looks kind of like a world from Super Mario Bros. 3.
Oh, okay.
And you move from level to level, but the levels are kind of like a Mega Man level, but longer. And when you're done with it, you know, you beat a boss or whatever, just like you would in Mega Man, and then you're done with it, and you move on to the next level. And there's about three, quote-unquote, phases of that world, but it's one just long overworld.
Oh, okay. So, like, Shantae is, like, basically kind of like Castlevania. Except in an open world. It's sort of like a Metroid thing, actually. It's like a Castletroid.
Castletroid? Mm. Yeah, I never really got into the Castlevanias, but I've wanted to, but I hear they're balls hard, so I don't...
You've never played Castlevania?
No, never.
Oh, dude, you like music, too.
Oh, I do, and I like Castlevania music. I've heard it.
You should hear it in the context of the game.
Oh, I know.
It's fantastic.
Have you played Symphony of the Night?
No.
That's pretty good.
No.
Oh, you like that.
What platform was that for?
Everything kind of now. PlayStation 1 originally.
Yeah. Oh.
But it's on Xbox 360 and PlayStation
3. It's pretty easy.
But I can't get it on Wii U or 3DS?
You cannot.
No, not yet. No.
Someday you might be able to.
It'd be nice.
You should try Castlevania 1 on the Virtual Console or whatever. Or Super Castlevania.
Oh, God.
It's pretty good. You don't like it?
Castlevania 1 is so hard, though.
Is it that hard? I feel like it was just hard when we were kids.
No, it's still hard.
but Super Castlevania is not so bad?
Super Castlevania is pretty damn good.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's a little better.
Wait until you see the Mode 7 graphics, Steven. They're gonna blow you.
Oh yeah, that's what gets me going. So
it's cool.
Is it on the Wii U Virtual Console or is it on the Wii's Virtual Console?
It is definitely on the Wii U Virtual Console as well.
The Wii U?
Yeah. I think so.
Oh, okay, you can update awesome. It. I mean, I'll confirm, but yeah, I mean, my Wii is hooked up because of Xenoblade, which is what I'll be talking about in my now playing. But I don't know if it's gonna stay that way for long, so. I'd like to, if I can, get on the Wii U.
Yeah, I can guarantee it's on Wii U, because I already upgraded it.
Oh, sweet, okay. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And anything else, Louie, that you want to add about Shovel Knight?
I can't remember what I scored it, but I think it was above a 9 out of 10 for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you score all your games as soon as you beat them?
Yeah, I do. I wait till after I've played them long enough or beaten them to score them. Yeah, it's well worth the $15. I would highly suggest if you haven't played it, go out, get it today, give it a shot. It's fun.
I can see myself maybe, not necessarily around the holidays. I don't know. After the Smash Brothers has kind of died down with me a little bit, maybe early next year, I could see myself double dipping back into the 3DS one just to play it all over again, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be worth it.
I wouldn't do that.
No?
No. No, I don't like double dipping if it's the same game.
I will say, I have double dipped and may triple dip on SteamWorld Dig.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I bought it on Steam some time ago. I just recently bought it on the 3DS after it was on sale half off. And so I bought on that, played through it again, and then they announced right after that it's coming to the Wii U. And I was like, I wouldn't mind playing on the big HD TV. So, we'll see. But, you know, how much is Super Castlevania?
Probably Super Castlevania bucks. Is $8. I think all Super Castlevania are $8 straight up, but if you had it on the Wii, then it's $150.
Well, because I just cashed in some codes. I only had two codes in the Digital Deluxe program. But I have, mm-hmm. So I have $10. You know, I could use
there
that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good fun.
Or I could get Earthbound, finally.
No.
It's so good. Earthbound.
So if only Joe was here to make the final decision for us.
Yeah, the tiebreaker. It's such a tragedy that they don't have like N64 games on this. We could play wireless or play N64 games.
Yeah, that's frustrating. You know what? Not to digress, but if I may, I meant to mention this at the start of the show because I just saw this like 2 hours ago. But I guess on Jimmy Fallon the other night, the late night or the Tonight Show. God, He had Pierce Brosnan on, and he wanted to play GoldenEye 007 from the N64 with Pierce Brosnan, and unfortunately Pierce had no idea what was going on and did not even grab a gun before Jimmy took him out.
But he did, so, yeah. But you don't start with a gun,
huh?
Yeah, you don't start with a gun. That was strange.
Yeah,
I guess so. But I mean, he was just slapping. He was.
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah. I saw it.
But I mean, Pierce is a cool guy. I like. You know, him as a Bond and everything. It was pretty funny to see that. And I love that game has some sort of relevance with somebody, you know, besides us, besides the forums and stuff, to this day. So that was pretty sweet to see. I'm looking forward to him, having, Grant Kirkhope, on the show and then them playing Banjo-Kazooie or whatever.
Isn't that a one player game?
It is, but they can coach it together.
They could play Banjo-Tooie.
Yeah, that's the one player, though.
Didn't that actually have some of the levels from GoldenEye, like the temple level? Or the first
it did. Digit? Yeah, it did, actually. It did. I remember shooting eggs out of Kazooie's mouth or butt or one of its ends. But, yeah. There was a multiplayer mode in Banjo-Tooie as well. But
it was.
Anyway, digression. So, that was kind of a funny skit to get a chance. back to Shovel Knight really quick. I want to tell people, I'm really big into chiptune music, of course, and, I would like to have some more euphonic podcasts. Me and Joe need to plan that out. But, so I apologize if you're missing those. But, there's a podcast called This Week in Chiptune, which they don't, you know, talk about it like we do on, Negative World Euphonic. The guy, plays a bunch of remixes and, like, new stuff or whatever that from various chiptune artists. But it just so happened that when Shovel Knight came out, they had episode 66, and that had, it was nothing but Shovel Knight and 1001 Spikes music. And, it was a really good episode of the podcast, and, it gives you a chance to just hear the music flat out. I mean, you can always YouTube it as well, but I would highly recommend you go into, check out DJ Cutman's podcast, This Week in Chiptune, and episode 66 is the one with Shovel Knight, so.
That sounds pretty cool. Yeah. I would like to hear what it sounds like for them to remix back to like 2-bit, like Atari 2600 or something.
You just did it.
I think it would sound a little something like that.
So, you know, jumping forward, sort of, Lou, really quick before we move on, anything else you want to say about Mario Kart?
It gets a lot more difficult to win as your VR gets higher. Right, well, now, yeah, mine's
above. How's the matchmaking? So you're actually matched against...
It's actually pretty good. It's very good matchmaking. So I'm ranked, whatever, 7,200 points. And it puts me in matches with people within 1,000 points of that very regularly.
And how often do you win? Like, is it always like kind of a struggle?
It's a struggle. I always finish in the middle, sometimes last, sometimes first. It's a crapshoot.
That's pretty cool. So is it because,
is it always 1,000 above you, or is it a range that does dip a little bit below you? Or I mean, I guess
it's
it has
a range
to.
That dips below too. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're fighting people that much higher, they must be fighting you that much lower. So that would make sense. So is it like maybe plus or minus 1,000?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Have you jumped online yet, Steven?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was into it, especially when it first came out. I was online with everyone. Then a bunch of shit happened, and I have not been online with pretty much any games very much. But I'd like to get back in. Joe was just involved with a Nintemple Mario Kart tournament. I know Mop It Up does Negative Worlds. Kind of fun nights. They're not so much
themes.
Yeah, the theme nights and everything. That's really cool. And
It is. I finally jumped online after like last week or something, and I actually won my first 3 races. And I was like, "Holy shit! I'm actually pretty good at this game." But I guess I was just playing against multiple other first timers or something.
Yeah, that's
the point. Is I won. Yeah. So yeah, I'm never gonna play you guys and realize how bad I truly am. I will never be humbled. Go ahead, Nate.
I'm more likely to hop online, I think, with handheld games, though, just because I'm able to not just sit at my TV or my computer, and which are kind of in the same place, but I just like the freedom of the handheld in that respect.
Yeah, do you like to move around while you're playing?
No, I mean, I'm not, like, wandering and, you know, into the street and stuff. I have the freedom to play in any room in the house, or even not when I'm not necessarily home, you know, stuff like that, so... let's move on then, if that's all you guys have to say, to...
Actually, Joe, what do you think about Mario Kart?
That's douchey. Because we still can't get Joe back on.
Well, guys, Mario Kart 8's pretty good.
to quote Smarter Child, go F yourself. to everyone listening, we're in a weird perpetual state of Schrodinger's cat, in a sense, because... Joe's on the call. He just can't hear us. And so he doesn't exist, but yet he does exist. And, he says hi, !! I, or whatever. Oh, no, that's 2 !! Okay. It's great to be here, he says. We could just do the show like this. Joe, so do you have, you know, anything that you've been playing? I mean, I don't think we have anything in the outline, but is there anything you want to add before we move on? So we'll move on. Joe doesn't really have anything to add in the segment anyway, per his request. So let's talk about me. That's what we're all here for, right? Yeah.
Well, time to go.
Yeah. Okay. To quote
my headphones here.
To quote Joe, go F yourself. no. So I am excited though to have a chance to speak, which is not new actually, but because and I'm really sad Joe's not here to hear this, but he already knows. I finally beat Xenoblade.
Oh my god.
Yes.
How long did it take you?
My total time was close to like 145 hours.
Holy
yeah.
Which is, that's normal. That's nuts, man. I've never spent that much time on a game, except for Animal Crossing.
But it's so good.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I feel like I could go back and continue on, but I did the new game plus, and so, I can't go fight the big monsters just yet or anything. I guess I could use a file from before I fought the boss. I do have a save there, but new game plus, I thought I would do it just for the fun of it. You know, I was like, oh, I'm still into this game. Let's do this. But it's so pathetically easy that I don't know if I'd want to go through just easy shit until I get to, like, the fun battles and stuff.
What's the story? You're, like, totally leveled up?
Yeah, I'm level 84. Mm-hmm. And you keep your levels, you keep 30 of every armor and weapon that you want, you keep all the best shit, and you keep all your gems and everything, too, which are, so you start the game with, like, level 5 gems and everything. So it's a bit,
So what's the point of that, exactly?
I guess to collect the things you missed, or something, yeah. And then also make it so... What, Lou?
I was going to say, beat the monsters you couldn't before.
Yeah. So it allows you to, like, see the game, and then... I don't know why they couldn't just put you back after the game's over. I guess because, in theory, the game changes, the world changes. But plus two, there's probably some high-level monsters that are in parts of the game that get blocked off throughout the story. So maybe you can go back and fight those guys then. Probably the only way you actually could.
Unless Joe? Around. Is he here?
Or someone's humping a mic.
Maybe both. Hey, Joe.
Joe?
Hi.
Hey, it's Joe. He lives.
I had to reinstall the drivers about 8 times.
Wow.
Did you really? In your computer?
I'm sure this will work.
I feel like we're in a Foley Artist studio right now.
Yeah. Tickets. Crickets and doors.
Crickets and doors crunching.
That's what they're working on today. Simultaneously.
There's a stroll outside.
There's a guy with high heels on a wood block, snaking the steps, yeah. Joe, welcome back.
Okay, so part one of my 232-part thoughts on Shovel Knight.
We've moved past it. I'm sorry. Next time.
Next time.
Make it a feature. Write it.
Shovel Cash. Weekly.
I'll do 232 1-minute installments.
There you go. That's still a lot of damn time.
That's true. Hey, so what are we talking about?
We're talking about Xenoblade. I beat it, man.
No.
Yes, I did.
I know. Nobody beats that game.
I get close, then I wait like 8 months.
Yeah, you enjoy the anticipation. That's what you like.
I guess so, yeah, because when I started my file last weekend, the last one was February something. So it had been quite a while, and I was right at the boss at that point. I had to do a little grinding. I was at level 80, and I just wasn't getting anywhere, so I got to level 84, and that helped, even though it was still kind of tough. And I feel like a little bitch, because I was reading some tips and stuff online, and people were like, oh, I was at 76, and he wasn't too hard when I did this. And it's like, what? I'm having trouble at 80, and you're under-leveled by 6, and you're... So I don't know. I guess some people are super good, and I'm just whatever, but...
And they probably finished in 135 hours.
Huh?
I said they probably finished it in only 135 hours.
Probably. With all the side quests. I just gotta say, it was, it's such a good game. It's still very warm in my heart to, think of it. The music's amazing. The world was amazing. The characters were pretty cool. Pretty diversified. I still kinda hate Ricky, but whatever.
So you enjoyed it all the way through? Like, you never kinda got it to
Yeah. Game. I mean, I was a little frustrated at the grinding because there was only a very select few enemies that I could fight that were stronger than me and to a point where I could still beat them. Actually it was just weird. Like levels 80 to 82 were tough. And then I moved on to Lethia for the 83, 84 levels. And that was a lot easier. So, even though those were like level 90, but yeah, I did like it through and through. And, I'm so psyched and amped up for Xenoblade Chronicles X again, or Cross or whatever you want to call it. I was very excited at the first trailer, and then it kind of wore down when they didn't really show too much new stuff. But now that I've beaten this and I've looked at that content again, I'm so excited.
So what's the relation of the old Xeno Saga game to this Xeno?
The title.
Just that? That's it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really... I've never played those games, so I don't really know the connection. But I don't think there is. I think I read something about that. And,
Yeah, I mean, they're not really related at all, other than there are mechs that exist in the world. And, I mean, even Xenoblade Chronicles and then the Wii U game are not related in terms of the fiction, I believe.
No, I mean, we don't really know that entirely yet, because there's that character. There's that character that was shown in one of the trailers that looks a little bit like Shulk. But, you know, there's no confirmation that it is, and there's no reason to believe that it is. I mean, they just could be lazy with character design. Who knows? But, I mean, now that I've seen the ending, remind me, who here has beaten the game? I know, Joe, you...
I beat it.
Lou? Yep. Okay, Lou's beaten it. Joe's beaten it. Anand?
Sure, why not?
No, you haven't. In fact, I remember you told me today. I don't really want to discuss it then, if...
You can discuss it.
Are you absolutely sure?
I'm going to take off my shotgun and my headphone. Yes, I will meet you.
Okay.
Write me a message then when you're done.
I will, okay. All right, 3, 2, 1, okay. I mean, there's not too much to say about it. I'm not going to go through all the details. But so where I was stuck at was Disciple Dixon, okay? The douchebag who comes back from the beginning of the story. And I thought, at first, I thought it was weird that when I finally beat him, and I was so excited because I was stuck on him for months, he just gets up and smokes a cigarette. Like, what, we just have sex? Like, come on. And
it was a good romp.
Yeah, so he smokes a cigarette and then I think dies of lung cancer. I'm not sure what happened there, because he just kind of dies. And then, what's the guy's name? The big bad. With the Z.
I have no recollection.
Man. Well, you know who I'm talking about. Okay.
I was actually glad that you'd be talking about this, because I need a refresher on just what happened.
Well, yeah, so you fight Dixon, and he morphs back into his human form. But it the way they play it off, because you fight him twice. So the first battle is you fight him to, like, half health, and then there's a cutscene. And then you fight him again, you get him down to all his health. And then he just kind of cuts through another cutscene where he's like, screw this. I'm not going to die for you. And then he just, like, turns back into a human, smokes a cigarette. Like, I just beat the shit out of you, and you're not going to, like, perish yet? So he smokes a cigarette, sits down, and then we just say, okay, we're out. And we leave, and then he dies. Because the big god guy, who's the true boss, the true baddie, he just senses it, that Dixon's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, okay, that's weird, but whatever. Yeah, I wasn't too attached to Dixon to need anything else with that. So then you go, and this was cool and bizarre, and so I have to bring this up, but so you morph, I forget how you teleport, but you teleport to fucking Saturn.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
That was cool. And the second that we see Saturn, I mean, because the camera angle forces you to see it right there, I realized, okay, well, weird, this is in real, you know, Steven world, you know what I mean? Like, this is in our universe somehow. Why else would it, even if it looked like Saturn, to call it Saturn means that it's in our universe. So I thought that was intriguing. And then when you have to kind of fight the past bosses, the Mechon, that was pretty sweet. Especially because they weren't too hard. You know, I wasn't, like, nervous I was going to lose my save point or anything.
Because isn't there, like, dialogue going on while you're fighting?
To a point. Yeah, I think there is some background talk. That's not just, it's Ryan time or something.
Yeah.
And you're fighting them. They're not too hard, and they don't really knock you around and everything. But it's still weird just fighting the ghosts of people who you now know are actually, like, humans. And it has a kind of an emotional impact that's almost like... it's just way deeper than I ever would have expected it to be. And then, of course, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, that is the one thing from the end of the game that really stuck out, and I can still remember thinking, wow, this is pretty awesome for an end of a game.
Yeah, it was sweet. The only thing that was missing was, like, Rainbow Road. If it just had Rainbow Road. So you go through, and then you teleport in the light, and you go to the Jupiter, and then you go to Mars, and I wasn't sure if we were going to go to the Sun, or if we were going to stop at Earth, but then you stop at Earth, or, well, you know, you go to the Moon, you don't even go to Earth, and then you get this whole thing about how the two gods were fucking humans who, like, made their own universe, a pocket universe, on a spaceship, and one of them was trying to stop the other one because they knew that things were going to go crazy. And so somehow, like, the souls of these humans who probably died or just changed, I guess, became the gods of this new world. And that's, like, That's definitely a what the fuck moment, but it was pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Yeah.
It made a whole lot of sense, and it answered all my questions about why this world that that Shulk and everyone lived in was like a flat plane with water and then two bodies, and then why no one's ever just flown off it, because obviously you can fly around. Why didn't anyone just go in any direction? And it mm-hmm. answered everything. I mean, maybe not necessarily satisfactorily for everybody, but I liked it.
It was good science fiction.
Yeah. If I may, because can you just say what you just explained, like, one more time? Because I remember, I remember seeing the ending.
Yeah.
And being like, wow, this is really out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of got a grasp of what it was trying to say, but never fully. And then I kind of, after so many hours with the game, I guess I just kind of like, I was like, okay, well, done with that. And then I sort of just forgot about it. So
pretty much from what I took from it is that mm-hmm. how this whole thing happened in the first place before Shulk and everyone else existed.
Right.
So did our universe and Earth and everything. And there were some, scientists out in space, astronauts, and they were doing some tests and tearing maybe black holes or whatever. They knew how to create a wormhole or make their own universe, their own little Big Bang.
Okay.
And the female scientist, I can't remember her name, but she didn't really want this to happen because she knew that it would fucking be crazy and maybe they didn't do enough testing or whatever, so she was a little apprehensive. The other guy was a bit crazy in the sense of like, we gotta do this, we gotta see it, we gotta move forward the human race, and a bit maybe mad in his own desire to be the first one to do that. So when he hits that button or whatever, when he makes that hyperdrive activate, they ended up making a pocket universe, which may or may not have destroyed our own. It's not clear. But the reason why I would think maybe it did destroy, at least them, if not our own, is because her and him ended up becoming the two, the Mechanus and the Bionis, more or less. I mean, there's the gods themselves. I forget the names. There's the one that you fight at the end. He's the male astronaut scientist. And the one that helped you, Maineth, I think, she's the one who was the female. And that's why she's been kind of a guiding hand to you throughout the game, because she wanted to see the other guy stopped. And what he's been doing ever since this happened was pretty much making his own universe until shit hits the fan, or he's defeated or whatever, and then he just makes a new one, because he's got some sort of weird connection with the power. So this way, in this game, Shulk stops him from destroying this universe and making a whole new one all over again, by being more powerful than him or whatever. And that's how that world still exists at the end of the game. And that's how he's just ultimately defeated. Shulk says that I want to live in a world with no gods. And, so yeah, he defeats this crazy human, Earthling, who kind of did all this stuff. And it's just like, whoa, okay. And they were like trapped in this almost like lost in a sense, just this constant cycle of this good and evil thing. And then what I was saying too about the world as it relates to Shulk is like, I was fascinated from the beginning that you were on this body, this, creature, and you were living there and it was organic and everything. But the second I realized, okay, well, the, I can't remember the names right now. How crazy. The robotic enemies from
the Mechanus.
Are they called the Mechanus? But it's from the Mechanus, yeah.
The Mechons.
The Mechons. Thank you.
The Mechons.
I don't know why I blanked on that. Yeah, the Mechons.
I remembered something.
But the fact that they can fly over, and of course the Bionis, some of those people have ships themselves. It always made me wonder why. Oh hell, when you fall to the fallen arm, I always wonder. Well, okay, why not just walk into the water that's clearly shallow enough and just explore? You're not supposed to know, and I guess they never cared to bother, but. The reason that kind of world and universe exists is because it was created by us, and of course there's a whole nature of universes being infinite and everything, and what's the point, but it was just a really cool metaphor for some things, and I love how they tied it into human life. This could be the future, this could be, Mega Man 20XX, who knows.
Whoa.
Yeah. But I just thought that was pretty neat, and it wasn't as crazy as I thought it was going to be from what people were saying. But it still, as we talk about it, of course, is pretty crazy. And so I don't know how the future game is going to relate to this, if at all. It would be kind of neat if it did, but I wouldn't be too upset. I just, I'm a little apprehensive about the story from what we've seen so far. I'm not convinced it's going to be any good, but I also think that they did a great story with this one, and so they could do it again.
I sure hope so.
Yeah, me too. But any other questions, Joe?
Nope.
No? Okay.
You did an excellent job explaining that.
Thank you. And an excellent job beating it in a short amount of time.
Feel
so are you guys talking shit about me the whole time?
No, no. Are you back? Did you listen to any of that? Or
I did not listen. But let me guess the last scene. They find the Statue of Liberty half buried in the ground.
Yeah, weirdly, did it. Ass end awesome. Up. That was the weird part of it.
Yeah.
You figured it out.
I guess. You know, yeah, I do feel kind of left out, though, so now I'm going to spoil the end of Kirby Air Ride for you jerks. get this, the right, whole thing was a dream. And Meta Knight and DDD are actually his friends.
What?
Is that a spoiler for the Balma
Kirby
family?
Game. Every Kirby game. Oh. I also just spoiled one Mario game and one Zelda game.
Son of a bitch.
and Captain Nemo.
Does Kirby eat a delicious dessert at the end?
That I'm not going to tell you, Joe. We just got to play it.
Wow, you're going to tell us all that and then not if he eats a dessert. Or if That's it's delicious.
Or some kind of picnic. I think he's done that too.
So, okay. But let's move on because we have some more to discuss.
I wanted to ask you guys one question about
yes.
Xenoblade.
Yes.
How did you obtain your copy individually?
Game shit.
Each of you. Same GameStop?
Thing. Went to GameStop, yep.
So how do you feel about this?
Power to the players, Anand. Power to the players.
How do I feel about what?
The whole, you know about the reprinting thing? So GameStop, like.
Oh, that's douchey as hell. Because.
You think so? Like, why does it bother you?
Well, no, because they didn't. Okay, well, let's make sure we're getting the story straight. From what I heard is that they reprinted, that new copies were reprinted, and they were instantly sold as, quote, used copies to then mark up their own market.
But that's an alternative to you buying the game for, like, $130.
I get that, but it's a lie. It's not a used copy, you know?
So you're upset that it's new and not scratched up and...
I'm upset that it's a misrepresentation of the value of the product, and I'm upset that Nintendo didn't, release it the right way in the first damn place. But I think it's lying. I mean, just say it's a new copy that you're selling for $90. If that's
because let me get this straight. So if it the issue is that if it was an actual new copy, it should be at the MSRP of.
You would expect that,
50
yeah.
or 60, oh,
that's,
right? Is that the
idea?
That's why
they sell it used, because they can charge more than...
Well, no, I mean, well, that would be... Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, people would be knowingly purchasing that at a higher than recommended value. But because it's used, it's a falsehood and a falsity based from a company that exists solely on used copies.
But they sell it for, like, $40 and $50 and stuff,
right? Do they?
I think so.
I don't know. I haven't looked. I mean, I haven't had to, but...
It just seems kind of strange to me that people are upset that their copy isn't more like, shitted up.
Well, no, but used, I don't think used necessarily means that either. I think...
GameStop? Man.
Well, touche. I just think it's...
He's the only one who hasn't got shit all over him.
I just think that it's, I don't know, dishonest. You know?
I guess, but I don't know. I don't think it's too bad. I kind of can't see why people are so upset about it.
I mean, I'm glad more people have the opportunity to play the game, for sure. And, I mean, I guess it is better than... it's like, well, all it is really a new scalper who can actually make new copies. So, instead of...
GameStop must have gotten the license to print new copies from somewhere. I heard it was this company that does it for them, like for certain old games, and they also did it for Metroid Prime Trilogy.
Mm. Oh, I think I heard something like that, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's more just about... The sneakiness and just not being open about what you're doing, you know.
I guess, yeah.
Why don't you just go work for GameStop if you love them so much?
Yeah,
I actually want to marry them. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to marry him?
I heard it. I heard it. He's already taken by Rob. She's already taken by Rob. Mm. So the I mean, I didn't get the game yet, and I don't really like GameStop and the whole used game thing, but. It just seems strange, like, that people are upset that they can get a game that was previously almost unavailable for, like, $40 or $50, even if it's reprinted. I mean, the one thing I could see was if you were like a collector and you had an old copy and the value of it goes down, I could kind of see. But, you know, it's just
generally. Well, if they're selling it for 40 or 50 bucks, then that's fine by me.
I think actually they did sell it for more than.
I thought they sold it for up to like 90.
I think they did.
And that's dickish.
Yeah.
So, I feel like I saw a copy in GameStop not too long ago, and it was like $89.99 or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I think that's just sick, but whatever.
And the other weird thing when you think about it is that, so they've got new games they're selling as used, and then I think we all know that GameStop will open games, play them, and then put them back.
Sell them as
new. Yeah. Sell them as new, even without
that,
shrink wrap.
That is much worse, I think.
So they just try to be, you know, the opposite.
But how do we know that they didn't print a new copy of Xenoblade, sell it as used, use it, and then resell it as used still?
I mean, it could have been like both together. That would be genuinely used, right?
I guess
if someone uses it and they bring it back, then it becomes new, I think.
You lost.
Yeah.
It was a joke.
I have no idea. but yeah, so I don't know. That's just my stance on it, buddy.
I know they don't take sealed games. So if you bring a sealed game to GameStop, like, we can't take sealed games. You can just walk outside and just open it.
Yeah. Why?
Bring it back in.
That is so weird.
Yeah,
although I guess I don't know why you would not just return a sealed game back to where you got it from.
Yeah, for full price.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's one of those flipping kind of things, right? You get it from Best Buy for like $5 or some funky buy.
Oh.
Okay.
All
right. Well, anyway. So let's move forward from this discussion to the other thing I was playing, which I don't have much to say except Golden Sun Dark Dawn is also finished.
Is it good?
No. And it sucks because I love the first two Golden Suns. I love the series.
But, is that nostalgia talking, Steven? Or?
No. I mean, I loved them at the time. I would love to play them again. I think that they were great, and people will probably argue that on it because there are many similarities between this third one and the series, of course, and maybe rightfully so. But I the only thing that could be nostalgia talking is the dialogue. I'm sure the first two games had a ton of dialogue, and I probably loved it at the time, but I can't freaking stand it now. But the story was so bland in this one. In the first two games, it's an epic tale of, you know, four adepts who, technically eight, but a bunch of adepts who save the world, okay? Well, what happens is that after they do this, they all have kids, and then the kids are asked to go pluck a frickin' feather from some bird, and in the middle of it, they discover, oh, well, shit's going down again, let's save the day. And you never hear from the original heroes. No one's checking up on these kids. No one's, they're just running around doing dumb shit.
Just like Kern Cross might all die, like in the first scene.
Pretty much. Sounds legit. I mean, it might as well have been. And you do eventually get the feather, and then everyone's like, oh, hey guys, we got the feather. And like, that's it. Like, it's not monumental. The story pacing is just really bad. I admit that part of my frustration was I got a little lost some years ago. I mean, I haven't played in like two, three years. And I got lost, and I just kind of put the game away, and that's what's held me back from going back into it. I used the GameFAQs to find out where the hell I was, so I knew what the next thing to do. And it made sense, though. I was in the forest, and we were revisiting a character from the first two games, so that was kind of a nice touch. Obviously, I had to do the same thing I did before, where I had to use the water to heal the tree, but the GameFAQ made me realize why I'd been stuck so long. I somehow went like a half hour's worth of gaming ahead of a story point, and I was way across the world from the story point too. But for me, it was the natural progression because I was hitting all these other things, but this one thing didn't trigger, so I was never going to beat the game unless I went all the way back to the specific location, to the specific character, and triggered something. And that's frustrating. Yeah, the game really could have done a little bit more to fucking lead me back there. You know what I mean?
It's like Call of Duty, the RPG, am I?
I don't even quite understand that.
Triggers, man. It's all about triggers. Oh, you missed that trigger.
Yeah.
It's just that.
Jesus. That was terrible.
But, and it's shitty, you know? I mean, and it's one thing to miss a trigger. I mean, I don't want everything spelled out for me, but if I miss something blatantly, somebody, some asshole should be like, hey, don't you need some water from that guy over there in that town? You know, just fucking say it.
Yeah, at least put arrows on the ground.
Right. Or, yeah, that would be helpful. You know? Yeah. Even Bioshock Infinite does that crap.
Yeah, actually, every single game that's released now in 3D does that because they can't design a level for that. But,
but so it was frustrating to find that out, and then when I did it, you know, I was able to truck along, and I admit that the time warp probably wasn't too helpful, but I just had no care for all these stupid names and these stupid, this can make me sound Golden Sun racist, but these ethnicities and these different groups of tribes, and I don't know why they're talking, not talking, I don't give a shit. Like, I was just so disinterested in everybody.
You know what that's called, Steven? It's a little something called privilege. And I don't think I even have to say that it's white male privilege, but I'm gonna say it anyway, Steven.
So if
Jesus.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
This is some Bionis privilege going on.
Fair enough, okay. So because I was a white male playing that game, I gave no concern. If I was anything else, I would have loved it and connected. So it was kind of boring. And then there's these enemies that kind of pop in and out of existence. And I think that happened in the first two games, so I get it. But I connected a lot less to these, probably because of the way that the story was dishing out to me. And so when I finally finished it, I wasn't excited that I saved the world. I was excited that I saved the rest of my life and didn't have to dedicate any more to this game. But for some reason, this game in particular, I did not want to leave unfinished.
Why? How hard is it for you to just quit in the middle of the game or something like that?
It's kind of hard to do that. Although I'm thinking about doing that with Black 2 Pokemon. It's the last DS game I own. Besides One Harvest Moon, I guess. But it's the last DS game with a narrative, the real narrative, that I have not finished. But after beating X, I don't want to go back to a world where I can't use XP share on everybody. I just don't have the patience for it. And Joe is probably like dying to say something right now, but of course the connection's shitting out again.
I'm still here.
Yeah.
Hello.
Welcome. Glad to have you. So anyway, I'll just sum it up with saying Golden Sun Dark Dawn was quite a disappointment for a big Golden Sun fan, but...
It sounded like someone's opening a beer. I'm just guessing.
I did. That was me.
I guess that, too.
That was the Foley artist, remember?
Just a hunch, yeah. Mostly the Foley artist. Now do some more crickets.
I gotta go back outside. You're gonna hear some Mario Kart 8 in the background.
That's okay.
Well, Steven, all I have to say about your Golden Sun impressions is dot, dot, dot.
Oh, see, perfect way to end that. So, let's take another break. Let's get Joe back.
Let's save Private Joe.
Yeah, let's save Private Joe. Plus, I don't need to complain about Golden Sun any further, so I wouldn't recommend it. But I'd say go play the first, I think the first one at least is on Virtual Console now. I don't remember.
I haven't, but I haven't really started yet. So the first couple are still worth playing?
Oh, the first two are great. And they people were pretty pissed because the first one tells only half the real story. But it feels complete for a game itself. You know, it's a 20-plus hour experience, and it tells the first half. But there is a cliffhanger, and then the rest kind of resolves the true overall arc. And I think that they were great.
I think in light of the modern era, you should just be thankful that it's not a trilogy.
Well, that's the thing. It
start
is
as a trilogy. Oh, I guess it is now.
Yeah, now it is. Dark Dawn. It's just funny. Dark Dawn. It was literally a Dark Dawn in the series.
Yeah. Oh,
that's not funny.
Good wordplay.
Sad.
But and now that it's done, Camel. It's a Dark Dusk. I can just put it away.
Oh,
you just make sports games earlier.
Yeah. Okay.
You didn't play any Mario Tennis in the middle. Disappointing.
Just a little bit. Meetup. You know what? Let's talk about that when we come back. All right, and we're back, and, you know, barring any more technical difficulties, let's just go to the tail end of the show today. There's stuff going on in the Nintendo world, but what's really important is the Negative World meetup that you guys just had in Rochester, New York.
I thought you were going to say Zoe Quinn.
You can talk about that shit if you'd like to.
Potster.
I need to know what this is about, whether on or off air. I truly don't know what the heck you're talking about. But
you are better off for it.
Blissful ignorance while it lasts.
All right, maybe I should title that the episode. So the meetup. It was roughly like a week long almost? I mean, Wednesday to Monday or something?
A couple of days.
Thursday to Monday,
okay. Yeah. So, you know, we had a meetup, and we've done this. This is like the third year in a row?
I think it's the fourth year. The first year was in New York City.
And the second year
was in Montreal.
Yep, yep.
And third year was in Chicago. And the fourth year was in, what's that place called again?
I hate you.
Rochester. So
we just got back from Rochester and we had a lot of fun after.
And then it worked out to have it in Rochester because, let's see, obviously, Ninsage, the old man from Zelda, and Mr. Mustache all live in the area.
And Mrs. Mustache.
Mrs. Mustache, correct. So that's four users from the boards.
I mean, and am I right in saying that the hot...
The what? You cut out there.
Uh-oh.
And he's dead.
That's a bad sign.
Feel free to type it.
I think you are right in saying that, Joe. am I right in saying
that? Gosh damn it. Oh,
Rochester is a hot spot of negative worlds.
So I'm eager to hear what the heck he was going to say.
I think he was going to say that there's the most people from Rochester after Chicago, which is true.
But until he gets back, let's keep going. We don't have all the time to hear about every story because it sounds like there was a shit ton of them. The thread's full of them. There's pictures. There's a lot of cool stuff. It really seems like you guys had a fun time. I don't know.
It may seem like that, Stephen, but actually it was just like just a hotbed of tension and just, yeah. It was terrible.
Detestment. And...
I'm not going to lie to you, yeah, but there, it was touch and go there for a while.
Touch and go.
No, it was a lot of fun, actually.
Yoshi's
Touch and Go is a great game, Stephen. we did not play that, although I have in the case. So, yeah, we got there on Thursday or something, and I came on Thursday or Friday.
Did you come with Andrew? Or no, Andrew didn't go, or did he?
I came with Kuvaps.
That's right. Okay. Yep.
Brandon. Yeah. Yep,
Brandon. Okay. So you guys traveled together?
We did. He drove the whole time. We had a tireless machine. And it was nice.
How long was the drive for you?
It was like 10 hours or something.
Damn.
Like.
That's me to New York City right now. Yeah.
It was pretty far I was pretty tired after watching Brandon drive for 10 hours.
What a jerk.
But I fought through it, Steven. And I did take a couple of naps. And then, yes, so we got there and we all got together and played a lot of N64 games, you know, especially early on.
Yeah.
Well, I think the first night, somebody posted, maybe it was, Stash, who posted you guys were playing freaking GoldenEye.
Yeah, course, it was pretty awesome.
With Jimmy fucking Fallon, you guys lucky. Oh, so lucky.
Yeah.
Playing with
Fallon. It was a weird coincidence.
Pierce Brosnan was there. Yeah. Actually, Jimmy Fallon wasn't there, but there were quite a few wrestling celebrities there.
Yeah.
In the Rochester area, which was kind of interesting.
So you played some GoldenEye and some other.
Yeah, we played GoldenEye. We played Nagano 98 Winter Olympics.
Oh god, that was terrible.
An underrated gem. An overrated gem. Even though maybe that.
We played some No Mercy.
No Mercy, of course.
What was that, like WWE or something? Or WWE?
Yeah.
Yeah, WWE. In a huge upset, Rob and Lou were the last two remaining wrestlers in No Mercy. And Lou was disqualified for hitting Rob after 1 minute. 1 minute to a match. With a piece of the stairs.
It was pretty funny.
It was a very anticlimactic championship.
But then we had a real winner and I won.
Oh, I see. Now, would everyone attest to that, or is that just something you'd say?
I think of the stair DQ as the real match.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny. That game was pretty funny, I have to say. I'm not very experienced, and I didn't know how to pin anyone or take advantage of any, you know, opportunities, but it was pretty fun. Luke kept punching me in the crotch. I lost in the first round, but yeah, it was fun.
That was awesome.
And we also played, I had never played Smash Bros. 64, and Rob had it. And I really, really, really enjoyed it. It's, like, totally different than the other games I've played.
You know, I downloaded it, I don't remember how I got it for free, but I have it, and it's on my Wii, and I've been meaning to go back and get some GameCube controllers out or something and play it, because it was a really good Smash game. I mean, obviously it started the whole thing, but there's some charms that are missing from the newer versions, you know?
Yeah, totally. Like, the physics are totally different. It's a lot, like, faster and, like, heavier. Like, the characters don't feel so floaty. They don't feel, like, Kirby, kind of.
Some of the levels, too, are, like, really memorable for being so simplistic. Like, the Pokemon one where you're on top of the, Saffron City or something like that, maybe? I don't really remember, but you're on top of the city, and then the stupid-ass Pokemon just kind of pop out, you know?
Oh, yeah, right.
Or, like, Hyrule Castle, where you just kind of, and there's the tornado and stuff. Like, very cute, I guess I have to say, but, I missed that game.
And everything's still kind of, like, doll-like. I don't know, I really enjoyed it. And everybody packs kind of a wallop, and the throws, like, are pretty effective, too. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So we did that stuff the first day in 64, and then you guys want to talk about some of the rest of the stuff we hit on that trip?
Yeah, so that was the fun stuff Thursday. Greg, the Big G, the Big G came Thursday. Smurge showed up to my house Friday. Friday morning, it was myself, the Big G, Mr. Mustache, and former WWE superstar Colin Delaney on a golf outing. That was a lot of fun. Hmm. We got bags of beer at the turn.
Bags of beer.
Yeah.
With a bag of worms.
It came with a bag of ice.
Mm. Of course.
That was fun. And then I guess you guys did tennis Friday morning?
Yeah, we had some counter programming with some tennis, which was very fun.
So what's up with this, like, actual physical exercise?
Oh, it was unprecedented, Steve.
Yeah, like, that's...
Every single meetup, we bring, like, a football and tennis racket.
And you just look at it, right?
And pretty much, we just look at it.
Endearingly.
Yeah, we're just kind of like threatening to do some physical activity. But this time, like, those guys headed out for golf at like freaking 6 in the morning or something.
Sure. Well, the weather must have been pretty good, huh?
It was actually, the weather was beautiful the whole time.
It was chilly.
Nice and cool.
Yeah, it's been crazy here in Michigan, too, so figured just the whole Midwest sweep into New York would be the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was really nice. And then we played some tennis, and former WWE superstar Colin Delaney was playing tennis with us as well. Broke some rackets. It was a pretty wild time.
Yeah, Anand busted some strings on his racket, which I'd never even seen before.
Power arm.
Yeah, I just didn't know my own power.
Now, please tell me you broke him playing tennis. I mean, that's any other way, and it's not really fair.
Yeah, it was playing tennis. I decided to give it my all, and the racket just couldn't happen. So.
They call you the bullet.
It was a gross sound. It was like a frying pan being smacked against the wall or something. And then we played with a broken racket. It was good times.
Kuvaps was ball boy for a little while after.
Kuvaps was the ball boy.
Got done playing.
He's got the endurance. I mean, you know.
Yeah, he brought the same intensity to ball boy as he did actually playing tennis.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's very rare.
He doesn't want people to know this, but he's actually a goat human hybrid. So.
So he would eat the cans the balls come in.
He would. He would
snack on it.
And he has pretty impressive endurance.
Yeah.
And he's very sure-footed.
Yeah, sure-footed Brandon. That's what they call him. Yeah.
So that was fun. So, did we go to the museum that day, or was it the next day?
We went to the Red Wings game Friday night. WWE superstar, current WWE superstar Luke Harper was there in attendance.
And then he's not joking about this.
No, yes. the way you're presenting them is just hilarious to me.
Well, there were quite a few luminaries, yeah.
And then I guess he promptly got on a plane and went to Los Angeles the next day, which is unbelievable. But we were at the game. There was an awesome fireworks show at the end. It was like 20 minutes long.
It was really, really impressive,
Set to Elvis music.
With an Elvis impersonator, yeah.
Elvis was there, yep.
He's in the building.
And then we went and we went to karaoke after.
Oh yeah, that was that thing too.
Yeah, that was not as good as Rory Lake's karaoke in Chicago.
Everybody only had one turn.
Yeah, nothing will ever beat Rory Lake. If you're ever in the Chicago area, I highly recommend you check it out. It is the best karaoke experience you will ever have.
I'm not lying.
It was pretty great, yeah.
So that was Friday. Saturday,
we went to the Museum of Cool
Land. Yeah, what is this museum? I saw some pictures and stuff, and it sounded like it was a pretty cool place to be.
It was pretty freaking awesome. Like, yeah, we didn't spend as much time as we could have there. No. It's just like a gaming museum. It's pretty much like the ideal thing for nerds like us.
It's more a museum of play with all sorts of toys in it.
Okay.
Not just video games.
There's also like a comic book exhibit. I mean, it's just kind of fun related stuff.
But it's open all year round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah.
Shit. Cause, I mean, I couldn't make it to the meetup, but I still wanted to come out there at some point.
Dude, if you come out, you can stay with one of us for a weekend and we'll go there all day.
That would be
awesome. You can spend an entire day there.
Yeah, that's the biggest regret of the weekend. Not enough time at the museum.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because we had 800,000 tokens.
I thought it'd be that you didn't have a night at the museum, and you know what happens then.
Oh,
that would be I could totally spend the night at that museum.
But yeah, so what's this with the number of tokens? I mean, you said that. I mean, are you not using hyperbole? Do you actually have that many tokens?
There was this guy. So first of all, a few of the games are free, but most of them you got to pay. You pay a dollar, you get 5 tokens. And like, when
National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation, where a guy dies and gives you his ticket. And...
It was pretty much
no. There was this guy who we were in line to, you know, use the machine to get tokens, and this guy was just like, "Hey, you know, I'm here with my family, and we're about to leave, and I was overzealous with my token purchasing. Do you guys want them?" And we were like, "Yeah." It was me, Greg, and Smart Mark at the time, I think, and. Yep. Were you right there? Okay, so he gave them to some of us, and then we were like, thanks, and we each got like a handful of tokens, and we went and kind of, and then, Mark and Greg were going to be on the Street Fighter machine, and I was waiting, I was going to be third, and I saw the guy sat down with his family, and I wasn't playing at the moment, so I'm like, I'll go back over, and I'll just say thanks one more time, and I went back over, and by then, all three of his daughters had arrived. They also had pockets full of tokens. They were all leaving, so they gave them all to us. And it was just like insane. I mean, at the end, most of us were still going around giving tokens to strangers because we had too many.
I have some on my table still.
it was pretty much the dream of every young nerdy child.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's like, hey kid, you want 100 free tokens?
So seriously. Oh. Brandon went around just putting credits on machines, which is pretty.
Yeah, cool. That was awesome. I actually went upstairs and like I was looking for, those guys so we can meet up for going to dinner. And Lou was like, I don't know if you should do that because you haven't gone up there yet. You'll get stuck. I was like, I'm not gonna get stuck. And man, I was so stuck. I was just like, it's so cool. And like, and there were these machines that they just had like credits in them already. And I was like, oh my god, is it my birthday today? And I was just playing all these machines along the way. And then I found that Brandon was the one going around putting the tokens in the machine like Santa Claus.
So you were the one using up all of this.
And I was using them like the opposite of Santa Claus. Like just like a stupid greedy kid.
So that's like Mrs. Claus following Santa through the houses taking, oh, look at all these presents for me. No shit, you know?
It was a parade of Brandon, Anand, and then like crying children behind
in our wake. Yeah.
So isn't that like anywhere Anand goes and no?
That's crazy. Yeah,
so like there were some pretty interesting games there, right? Like what were the highlights for you guys?
The pinball machines, because those are only there for a limited time, actually.
Oh, how long?
I think until middle of September.
Oh, I can't get there that fast.
Wait, now which machines are you talking about?
Like all the ones they had outside, the arcade exhibits.
Okay.
And just in random spots, those machines will be gone.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cause I know I've been there once before. I remember playing pinball, but, it was actually different machines than the ones that I had played this time. So I think I'm sure they do rotate them and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Interesting.
So pinball was your favorite. What about you, Joe?
My favorite, it's not very exciting, but just getting to play, two of my favorite arcade games of all time, which are the original X-Men and the first Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Mm, yep.
You know, they're both the brawler types, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are two of my faves, so. I think I got all the way through X-Men with Rob, and then me and Mark got like halfway through Ninja Turtles.
Well, yeah, I think I read that Rob said you guys had beaten a game or two or three.
Like, Rob
had beaten Ninja Turtles already, and then he jumped on X-Men, and Joe jumped on X-Men.
Yeah. Right, because I think it was like Anin, Rob, Nikki, and was it Greg? Like the four of you beat it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Cool.
And I put my token in to help on Shredder, and then they beat him like 10 seconds later. But I lost my token. there was some fun stuff there, though. I mean, besides that boring stuff.
So what was it called again? This museum or whatever?
Strong Museum of Play.
Okay, all right. So anyone interested or anyone who's in the North New York area, check it out.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty great, yeah. So they had some, like, weird rarities. Like, upstairs they had Pac-Man Versus. Have you seen that? The Pac-Man Championship Versus.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Did you guys actually play it? Or did you guys get
it? No. Them? I beat my wife in bubble hockey.
You beat your wife? In what?
Bubble hockey.
Oh, yeah, bubble hockey.
Starring the Red Wings?
It was USA versus Canada, I think.
That's like foosball, but with hockey, right? I've never seen that
before. Yep. It's awesome.
Did also have just some machine. Just like they had like a Genesis hooked up with Sonic 2, I think, and they had like
that's true.
Some other old consoles and things, right?
Yeah,
I think they had like some PCs with some like adventure games on them or something. You could just
really
play.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Downstairs they had a Sega holographic game. Did you guys see that?
I did not see that.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. It's called, like, Time Travelers or something. And it was just this little holographic globe inside of this big white machine. And The actual game was something like Dragon's Lair. Or Wild Gunman. It was, like, the most, like, sort of basic generic game that there is. Like, basically someone would pop up and you just turn around and shoot them. It's all, like, video. It's like Mad Dog McCree.
Huh.
And then if you press shoot in time, then you shoot them. Then it plays that. And then if you don't press shoot in time, like, a holographic skull comes up while it's loading the death animation and shows the death animation. It was kind of interesting.
I did beat Joe in a basketball shootout.
Yeah, I was going to say. And then what did you do?
I gloated about it.
Threw a basketball on top of the machine.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Was it like a victory launch or what was that?
I think he was trying to...
That was his taunt.
Did a little kid say, oh, I could do that? And then you're like, no, you can't. I can't play anymore.
I think he was taking like one last sweet shot and put a little too much arc on it.
Yeah. A little too much loo into it.
Yeah.
But he did thrash me pretty good in the actual shootout. And then Anin and I were eyeing this weird like bicycle propeller game. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was like a hang glider with a bicycle sort of thing. Yeah,
It was like an actual, you know, like a some sort of
stationary bike.
Yeah, like a stationary bike. And you would somehow like tilt the controls and fly this like pedal glider. But I think we were both too self-conscious.
This little kid was
to
totally hogging the machine. I mean, we were trying to like sort of intimidate him off. And then Nikki actually hit a jackpot on one of the ticket machines.
That is true.
Yes, she did. I think it was the tester strength.
It was. She was too strong for that machine.
Didn't she hit it twice or something?
No, she only hit it one time. But she used a lot of tokens to get in there. But it's still pretty impressive, yeah. I didn't get close.
So this place sounds amazing.
It was pretty great, Steven.
Yep.
They had Discs of Tron. Have you guys played Discs of Tron?
They need to take this place, and then they need to hire... Do you know who Rosanna Pansino is?
No.
All right, she's this woman that...
She related to Zoe Quinn?
Oh, no.
Rosanna Pansino is this cool lady who makes like treats that are based off video games or comics or all this.
Oh, the nummies person.
Nerdy nummies, yes.
Yeah.
And they need to take her treats, mix it with this place, and they'd be like a haven. You could just stay, play, eat, and I don't know. I would love it.
Speaking of treats and food, Steven, let me tell you about the signature dish in Rochester.
Okay.
Wait, you gotta go to Dinosaur first.
we did go to Dinosaur Barbecue, Rob's favorite barbecue place, and maybe the entire universe.
And I heard there was a wait.
There was a wait. Yes,
an hour.
Oh, quite a wait.
And it was it a Jurassic sized wait?
Oh, yes.
It was. We were waiting since the prehistoric times.
It was an epoch.
Yeah. It was an era.
It was Chrono Trigger.
Basically. It was time travelers. So we went to the Dinosaur Barbecue place. We had like some briskets and ribs. It took a long time, but it was pretty good.
Rob will go down to his dying day that it's the best barbecue place in Rochester, but I just don't agree.
Yeah, there was
I thought I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I'd been there, I think once before. And I thought it was fine, but I'm just not really like that big of a barbecue person, so I'm probably not the one to ask. But,
so now, is it dinosaur themed?
No, not at all.
That stinks. No. I would, open the door, get on the floor, everybody.
Walk the dinosaur.
I think it's the dinosaur name because the ribs are big, the portions are kind of big.
So it's called the Flintstone. They put dino ribs on your car.
Brontosaurus rib?
Yeah, brontosaurus rib.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know a brontosaurus?
Isn't a brontosaurus not even a real dinosaur?
No,
they have retconned the brontosaurus out of existence. along with Pluto.
Well, that's
where brontosaurus has come from.
That's true.
From Pluto.
I mean, like, in that first scene.
All right, you could tell them about the garbage plate now.
So the garbage plate.
The garbage plate.
I guess there's a couple signature dishes in Rochester. One is a white hot.
Sounds
kind of like a bratwursty kind of thing. And the other thing is the garbage plate, which
sounds
is
delicious.
Steep. Yeah, it was pretty.
It is if it's done right.
Oh,
and for the record, I'm not a fan.
Here's another source of plates. You don't like it?
No, it doesn't appeal to me.
I like it if it's done right. The one we had, not good.
So what is the difference between a good garbage plate and a bad garbage?
How about we start off with what the hell a garbage plate is in the first place?
It's just a pile of everything. It's like French fries and then macaroni salad or macaroni and cheese. It's all piled together. And then like, what was the other thing you can put on?
You got your choices. Let me explain it here.
Okay.
All right. You start with your side. You could pick two. You could do French fry, home fry, mac salad, mac and cheese, baked beans. You could either double up on one or pick one of each. All right. But you only get two. And then you got your choice. You can get two hot dogs, two red or white. You get two hamburgers or two cheeseburgers. And on top of that, you're going to get your hot sauce, your mustard and your onions. That's the works. So when you say you want a garbage plate with everything on it, you will get the hot sauce, mustard and onions on it. Got it?
For some reason, I'm just imagining you in a fucking outfit with a name tag serving me at a table right now. Like,
that was nice.
That was such an execution.
Yeah. The only thing, you forgot to mention, that you can get one hot dog and one hamburger or cheeseburger.
Yeah, that's true. Some places do that now, yeah.
Okay, so, all right, great. So that's the garbage plate. So why was this good or not good?
I mean, can you believe that exists?
No.
Most of it just, it does. It was remarkable that it exists. I enjoyed mine, I have to say. It was pretty good.
Well, if you enjoyed that one, you'd enjoy the ones where I know they do it best, better. I felt the fries were not cooked right. They're just not good. They didn't have that crispness to them. And the mac salad had no flavor.
Which does mac salad have flavor?
It's supposed to. A good mac salad does.
Amen, brother.
I gotta say, the place that we went, I'd never been there before. I'd never even heard of it before. I got two.
It's usually a bad sign.
Yeah, I got two white hots, which I love normally, and I didn't even eat the second one. It was so bad. So, I don't think this was a very.
It's good. Like, how do you screw up a white hot?
Yeah, well, they did.
So that pretty much sums up the Rochester food experience. <That's it.
laughs> Why? Why? We try to keep it classy here.
We do.
Try
podcast.
That was my response to the bad white hot.
Okay, understandable.
That just sums up Rochester's food in general. Just a gigantic.
All right. sounds hot.
white hot.
So we've got the museum, we got dinosaur, we got the white hob, we got the Barney from The Simpsons belching.
garbage plate.
So, anything else that was pretty key to mention about this trip?
Bumpy's
Party.
Bumpy's Party, of course. Have you heard of this game, Steven?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Do you have this game, Steven?
No, I do not. I mean, it's best with players, right? And I mean, I don't really have too many people to multiplayer, or local multiplayer, so.
Well, I assume it's meant to be played with girls and guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Subtitle Spin the Bottle. So we played it with guys and guys. we played it with girl
the
and
team,
guys.
The team got closer, okay.
Yeah. Also, I think it's probably better when most of the guys aren't like, you know, like married and like I'm thinking like high schoolers.
I see. So it's okay, you know, to.
I'm just thinking like the target audience would be like co-ed high schoolers.
Okay.
Basically, Stephen, what happens in Rochester stays in Rochester.
Yeah, and then goes promptly onto the internet on the Negative World Forum.
Precisely.
There's a lot of trolley pumping.
Oh man! Actually, that was one of the more tame games.
Yeah.
Oh man!
I thought the game was pretty hilarious.
So the game is intentionally trying to be suggestive.
It's not that suggestive, but it's pretty.
Me and Nikki played Find the Rooster. Let's put it that way. Rob was right there.
Wow!
And yeah. Lou did
cock-a-doodle do
take the win on that. It's sort of like a drinking game on that. Like you spin the bottle to see who you have to play a game with, and it's good to have the bottle spun on you because then you'll get more flowers, but it's also bad because then you do something embarrassing. It's kind of like push and pull kind of thing. If you know what I mean, Steven.
Well, I know what you mean.
But it was pretty fun. It was pretty hilarious at that. We were all pretty much
garbage
like,
plate. Cracked. That's all I gotta say.
Yep, This might have been post garbage plate, so even more.
No, it was actually Saturday night.
Oh, okay.
See, I can't wait to be filled with a garbage plate and then play this game. Do some
Rooster. Sunday night was the garbage plate with the WWE SummerSlam.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I got the other one watched everything on streaming, and so Bumpy's Party was pretty fun. I thought we were all cracking up. It was actually pretty hilarious. We played that. We played. We did the white elephant thing for a gift exchange.
Mm-hmm.
We did pop culture trivia, of course. And what else did we play? Anything else fun? We did some handheld stuff like Bomberman and Mario Kart 7, where Jill is just like, he's a ringer, I think. He's like, oh, I barely played this version of Mario Kart.
It's true.
And then he proceeded to win every single race.
You know, here's my thinking. I had played Mario Kart Wii with bikes almost exclusively. And then Mario Kart 7 comes along, you can't use bikes, so I was using the cart. And I was pretty bad. It took me a while to find the cart combination that really worked for me, so I was pretty bad. And then I'm playing Mario Kart 8 for a while now, I got used to the carts. So now we go back to Mario Kart 7, and I think that those cart skills carried over. So I was like, when Goku would train with weights and then take the weights off and his power level goes up. None of you have any idea what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like when ninjas like jump over a sapling and then the sapling grows and they jump higher and higher until they jump over a tree.
Something like that. Yeah.
That's nonsense.
Steven, you want to throw
it works.
Comparison in here?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Okay. Garbage plate.
It's like when a baby eats a little garbage plate.
And I gotta say, since most of the weekend was spent with me playing games that I'd like never even seen before, just getting trashed, it was pretty nice to win for a game.
That's what I did with Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. We'll always have Stinger though, right on.
Stinger is pretty great. Although I was kind of not in the frame of mind to appreciate it at the time.
No, you were not. The Kraken was released by that
Kraken,
point.
The Kraken had been released at that point.
Yep.
As the host of Mario Kart 7 matches, I was trying to just change up the modes, try to find some variation of things that I could beat Joe at. And I was only successful at Coin Runners.
Yeah, do you know why? Well, first of all, I'll admit I'm probably just not going to be ever good at
Coin Runners. I don't grasp the core concept that well.
I don't think anyone grasped it, but
yeah. But after a while, I was just kind of like driving around. So sometimes I would try to just throw shells at you because, you know, you were getting upset. Trying to give a little griefing back, but that was about it.
I understand how it is. And we did play Stinger. Yep. It's like a shmup. It's a cute 'em up. You fight a giant watermelon at the end of the first stage.
Yep.
Pretty good stuff. And
but don't be fooled into thinking that you should progress through the levels in that game.
It's all about the power ups.
It's all about the power ups.
Every good shmup is all about the power ups.
Uh-huh.
And don't you feel like those old games, it's like you don't even have a chance of beating them. It's just about like the journey, rather than the destination.
Sometimes.
Yeah, you just play the first level of Ghouls and Ghosts or whatever over and over again. The music is just so good.
R-Type.
Good every single time. And we also played some Micro Machines, Lou's favorite game. Lou wasn't there, for, unfortunately.
Yeah, I hate Micro Machines, so I'm glad it wasn't.
Dude, that was actually, I really actually liked that game quite a bit. The only problem was it was just too fast.
Yeah, it is pretty fast.
I could not handle the speed. And I can't believe, like, I think the highest speed I even attempted was 3 out of 5. I can't fathom what kind of Neo in the Matrix understanding you would have to play that game on speed 5.
You have to be at least half Vulcan.
Yep. But the game was really fun. The game, like, if you were able to turn the speed down to, like, -5, I think that game would be, like, everything that was fun about RC Pro-Am, but, you know,
except
like,
four people, right?
Well, yeah, and of course, much bigger and more interesting levels. I mean, like, the fact that, first of all, the fact that it was Micro Machines, okay, I think a lot of game developers would be tempted to just be like, yeah, we're just going to make a racing game, but we're going to put the Micro Machines name on it, and you're still, like, you know, driving through Manhattan or something like that. but this was actually like, you know, you're riding on like tables and like through the sand at the beach, and everything, you know, flip flops are huge and stuff like that. And I thought that was really possibly obvious, but you know, I could just imagine so many developers just, you know, going away from that. So that was really smart and actually differentiated this from, you know, any other kind of racing game. And how would you describe the RC Pro-Am controls, where it's like
left, tank controls, right, basically,
I guess? Yeah, so
I love, like, RC Pro-Am. Don't talk shit about it.
We're not talking shit about it. I love RC.
Good.
I mean, it's not Micro Machines. but actually, Steven, Micro Machines does support 8 players with 4 N64 controllers, which is another miracle.
Did we only get up to 4?
We only got up to 4, that's true.
Only.
We didn't get to the craziness of 4 2-player teams, which is pretty awesome.
And the other thing that's really interesting that's worth mentioning about that game is that you don't just race people around the track. Oh no. It's more about distancing yourself from the rest of the pack.
Right. And winning a point by getting first or second place in each little heat when you leave everybody behind.
Right. So people are constantly going off the track and like losing. And then whoever, you know, last person standing gets, first or second points, and then you kinda, and can you lose points? I don't remember. Do you lose points?
You lose points if you're one of the bottom, And there's power-ups and stuff like that, and there's crazy power-ups, like hammers and missiles and bombs and stuff like that.
Yeah, cause I feel like people, like some of the matches were going on really long because, you know, people would get close to winning and then lose points and stuff.
Like a tug of war. And also, I think what's underrated is that game actually has a very nuanced portrayal of different races.
Oh, God.
And, well, it's sort of like Punch-Out. It's just,
yeah, very,
it's just very well
like
done,
Punch
the characterization
out.
And the things like
that. Uh-huh. Wow. It was a different time. Let's
put it. It was. 1964.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, what point are we at in the weekend?
I think that was just,
we talked
day.
About Nintendo Land yet?
Oh yeah.
No, we did not.
Talk about your first experience with Nintendo Land.
Joe's Virgin Nintendo Land experience. I have heard, possibly even on this podcast, that Nintendo Land was always one of those games that was never all that impressive to like watch a video clip of online, but if you actually played it, if you actually got it in your hands, you would understand how awesome it is. And that sums up my experience perfectly, because like anyone else, you know, I was willing to entertain the thought of a Nintendo theme park when this game came out, and I watched the clips and the reviews and stuff, and I was not intrigued, really, but like at all. But playing the game this past weekend, man, it was awesome. It was great.
Yeah, so, it's very fun local multiplayer.
I think you probably need at least three people.
Yep.
I don't know if like with even two people, I don't know how great it would be. But if you get at least three, let alone four or five, man, oh man, the asymmetric action begins.
Yep.
It was so great. So run us down. Tell me the list. Tell me the games that I played, because we didn't do all of them. But
Mario Chase.
Yep, that was amazing.
Luigi's Haunted Mansion or something.
Also amazing.
Animal Crossing, Sweet Day.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Did I? Oh, yes, I did see that. Okay, that was pretty cool. Bit of a steep learning curve.
Very steep learning curve. You have to control, like, yeah, it's like rubbing your belly. And
yeah, but even that, but I love that. The reason why I love that is because I think a tendency with these kind of party games is to just, like, make everything easy. You know, like, there's no skill. It'll all just be, like, games of chance or whatever. Even something like Mario Chase, I mean, the skill is like your own kind of strategy, but the actual control, the actual gameplay is still very simple, and that's good, that's fine. But it was cool that they had this game where there was actually like a really demanding skill, which is, in case people don't know, you've got the right and left thumbsticks, and you're controlling two guards at the same time, right?
Yeah, and tackling with individual buttons.
Right.
Correct.
And what I quickly found out was, because my first instinct was to just focus on chasing down one person with these two guards. And I thought maybe, like, okay, I'll surround one person from two sides. No, that's not the way to do it. Anand, would you like to explain the best way to do it?
Well, Joe, what is, I think the best thing to do is to separate your guys so you get the largest field of view.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see where everybody is on the field. And then, the tricky part is actually tackling them, because you have to move them independently.
Right.
And it's pretty tricky, actually. It's not so easy. I have a lot of trouble with it still.
Yep.
Lou's pretty good at it. And then we also played...
Sweet Lou's good at the Sweet Day.
Yes. And we also played some Zelda Battle Quest and lost in the second level.
Now, this was probably my least favorite, only because I'm not sure I really got it. We only tried it maybe twice, but...
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, is that in the first level, they're just basic enemies and stuff. It actually gets very, very difficult, to the point where there's flying enemies, and enemies that you can only strike a certain way because of motion plus sword control, things like that. And there's some other co-op stuff that we didn't play, which is also kind of Pikmin is fun, and Metroid, what are they called?
Yeah, we didn't play that either.
Those are pretty fun, too. We had done a bunch of them in Chicago last year. But yeah, it's a fun package.
The thing that I was not as excited about with the Zelda was the fact that you don't move yourself. You kind of are pushed along, you know?
It's Wii Sports Zelda.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. But, I did also play what's the Donkey Kong?
Oh yeah, the Crash Course or something like that.
Yeah. That was really hard too. That really
was very, very difficult. Yeah.
Takes a skill. And I think I watched, it might have been Lou who was going first. Or maybe, I think maybe Lou and Brandon. Yeah, Brandon. And both of them were quite good at it. I assume they'd played before. So I'm watching, and I'm assuming, I'm just kind of like back. Thinking that it's kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Is this a tarmac?
It's hard generating that noise. Incredible.
Turn down the jet engine.
I'm sorry, I felt bad because you asked me a question I was ready to answer and it booted me right as I was about to answer.
I noticed that, yeah.
Well, now we're 8 miles past that, so.
Son of a...
But I am in the midst of complimenting your Donkey Kong Crash Course skills.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's a fun single-player game.
Yeah, you and Brandon made it look really easy, and then I got it in my hands, and it was not easy.
Yeah, it takes some practice.
It's tricky, but and like an arcade game, you have to beat the first level every time before you go on to the next level. So
yeah,
but it is the kind of thing like it makes me want to get the game and then master it at home.
You should get it because it's like $5 on Amazon.
I can't even believe that. That's amazing.
Yeah, because I guess so many people have them or something like that. But you know what's interesting about the game is like for the competitive games, like you'd think they wouldn't be fun like three players or something. They actually changed the rules. They changed the size of the levels. They changed the time limits. So they switch it up. So it remains pretty fun with less people.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like myself and my wife can play like Luigi game alone, the two of us. And they add bots in and stuff to help her out. Or me out, whoever's, you know, doing the flashlight thing. Same thing with the chase.
Yeah, Mario Chase, they add these Yoshi cards to call out the color of the level that they're in.
Yeah.
It's pretty helpful. And it's very clever, the way they scale it.
It's still playable with two people.
In Animal Crossing, playable. They change the rules. In Animal it's Crossing, fun. They change the rules so you have to drop the candy into it like a goal instead of just carry it around your head. Pretty good stuff.
Sweet.
And yeah, like the Wii U launch of this game, and I thought it made a pretty strong case for asymmetrical multiplayer.
Yeah.
I guess nobody ever played it. I always say this, but it's true. Like whenever I have people over and they play that game, they're like, "Wow, this is so fun!" You know?
Yeah, I really kind of feel like it's a shame because a lot of people were like, "Ah, you know, the Wii U didn't have that Wii Sports to really show off the system." I think maybe it did. It's just that it didn't, you know, I feel like when the masses saw, you know, Wii Sports, they instantly got it and you could be, you know, attracted to the idea of like, oh, I can play tennis in my family room, you know, but I think as I just described, seeing this doesn't really do the experience enough justice to make you go out and try it. You have to actually take that step. I think once you do, it makes a lot of sense. So it's just kind of a shame that I think they did have the software there. It's just there was that bit of a disconnect that didn't inspire enough.
Well, and no follow-up either.
Yeah.
Well, how about like Wii Party U or something like that? That actually has some pretty interesting asymmetrical stuff too.
Yeah, I mean it's fun. I played it with my nephews and stuff, and you know we get a little bit of fun out of it and. I think some of the games take way too long, that's an aside, but,
Yeah, some of the games are pretty long, but like, we played this one game, there was one guy on the gamepad, like, speaking into a microphone, and it was a graphic equalizer, and the three other characters are running on top of the graphic equalizer, so, you have to change the pitch of your voice to go under them, and then raise the volume to push them into, like, an electric, you know, line that's above the heads. That kind of stuff is pretty neat, I thought.
Crazy. Speaking of that, well, just 2 seconds. We played a little Let's Tap.
Is that what we played called? A lot of. In fact, we played the entire game.
So let's tap Bumpy's Party.
Let's tap Bumpy's Party. Me, Anand, and Brandon. That's also a pretty darn good game. I think you also need a couple people to make it fun. And I can't believe I was like using a box of cereal to play a video game. But that was also very, very interesting.
Novel, right?
Now, what cereal was this?
I think I had Lucky Charms or something.
Yeah, Lucky Charms. I had Blueberry Morning, and Brandon had Frosty.
Yep. And then maybe last thing, unless I'm forgetting anything, are there any White Elephant highlights that we wanted to touch on?
Oh yeah.
Maybe something you'd like to own up to on it.
Yeah. Tell us more about it.
Most of the presents were pretty shitty because only about half of people brought presents. So Rob ended up just like taking like bars of soap and wrapping them up as presents.
No, that's not true. Well, I mean, it's not entirely true.
One of us. He did wrap up Shingen the Ruler, which he had duplicates of for some reason. I think Smurd won that one. And of course, I don't know if you know the White Elephant thing, Steven, but basically, whoever wins has the right to like steal a present from anyone who was lower than him.
Lower.
Well, how do you decide the rank?
Anyone who's lower, yeah, just instinct.
That's how we did Trivial Pursuit questions to decide the rank. Which was pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, long story short, I won the Triller Pursuit pop culture thing, and branded it, ended up with this pretty sweet Mega Man t-shirt. Who bought that, actually?
Who bought it? I'm not sure.
Maybe it was Nikki or something like that. Nikki's always Rob on. Oh, Rob did, yeah. Usually the only good presents are from Rob and Nikki, and everything else is like, like a booby prize or something like that. And so basically Brandon had that, and I stole from him at the end. It's it's hanging right now in my closet, nice display. I'll probably wear it, or I might just put it on the wall just as a reminder.
Yeah, and I wound up with a brand new sealed Wii U game, believe it or not.
Xenoblade? Yep.
No. Almost.
No, Wii U.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Way to point out the flaw in my joke.
A little title called Funky Barn. That's right.
Oh, gosh.
Funky Barn.
So is it worse that you own it now, or is it worse that someone took the time to go get it?
The funniest thing is that he has like three games, and one of them is Funky Barn.
Yep.
So you're saying that a third of your Wii U library is Funky Barn?
Well, to be completely honest, I think a quarter of it, but yes.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
That's so bad. We need to get you another copy of Funky Barn and fix it.
Regardless, Joe has the funkiest Wii U library of any of us right now.
Yep. And amazingly, I watched one review, and the guy was like gushing about this game. No joke. So...
Really?
We'll see what happens. Yeah, it's a classic Game Room. Have you ever heard of them? Their reviews?
Yeah, I have heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like not just some dude. It's like an actual review outlet. And this guy was like over the moon about Funky Barn, so.
Over the moon, you say?
Now I'm a bundle of mixed emotions on this game. At first I was like, man, I wonder how much I could trade this in towards Nintendo Land for.
But, 10 cents.
The paper insert that goes,
you know, pretty much.
You could just melt it down for materials.
You can get the paper insert that has a Club Nintendo code that has been used.
That's true. And then Lou, you got an item that wound up making an appearance at our concert last night.
I did, a little trinket from it was Mario Kart Wii, right?
Yeah.
It was a little Luigi kart figurine. Does tricks when you put a coin in the bag.
Yep.
That's nice.
Not bad. Not too bad.
That was cool.
How did you work that in your show exactly?
It was on my little stool that I keep my drinks on.
Doesn't every rock star do that? Have a little table with a coaster on it for their drinks? Doesn't every...
I do.
Yeah, so that's what he does.
And the cigarettes go in the head stack, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty much our trip. We played a couple things, more things like Super Smash Bros. Brawl and Rock Band a bit. Rob has like 500 songs in Rock Band or something.
It's pretty ridiculous.
It is pretty ridiculous.
What?
And like most of them have to be DLC, right? Like at least 400 something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he has like all the DLC.
That's like $1,000.
It's gotta be.
Yeah. Anand has a pretty good voice, by the way, for the record. I was impressed. It's a lot of high notes that he was getting to.
A lot of mistaken harmony, high harmony notes.
Hey, yeah, that was good.
Well, actually, I was sick the whole time also. I was spreading cheer and germs.
That's true. I didn't actually get sick. False alarm. So,
I'm glad.
Very pleased about that. But even if it's 2 months from now, next time I get sick, I'm gonna blame you. So
that's fine. That's fine.
The germs were waiting on Funky Barn.
It was like wherever the game was made in like Africa or South America or whatever.
The game is so bad that the disc inside is laced with disease.
That's entirely possible, I think, with this game.
One of my friends had gone to South America, and he brought us back some dried hot peppers, because he knew we liked them. And, we finally opened them up like a year or two afterward, and it was in a paper bag, in a plastic bag. And we opened up the paper bag, and it was like a swarm of locusts just started flying out.
Oh god.
Yeah, like a swarm of South American locusts that would have given dengue fever or something. And someone just closed the bag. If it was in my hand, I would have just like thrown it at the wall and just scattered them everywhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, fallen, just open enough, and all flown out.
Pretty much. It would have been the end of Western civilization. You know?
Yeah, isn't, like, introducing outside creatures how, like, crops get decimated and things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the, the ash borer tree that's decimating the U.S.
Yeah, that happens. Japanese, those Japanese beetles.
Oh, yeah, true.
Ladybug-looking things.
They are pretty, though.
So that was the meetup. It was actually a ton of fun, actually. And we didn't have too many personal issues. Everyone was getting along. Except for one guy. Let's see who it is. And it was good times, yeah. We played a lot of games. We actually did stuff.
Cool. Well, I'm glad it was overall a great experience for you guys. I mean, as I stated before, I spent the whole time playing Xenoblade by myself, and can't say it was on the same level as you guys, but, you know.
Also good, though.
Yeah, definitely. It was like chores, you know.
I'm telling you, you come into town sometime, we'll do a little mini meetup.
It'll be fun.
We'll do all this stuff in one day.
Yeah, pretty much.
I will say it is always nice to meet you guys, you know, in person. Anand, you know, I've had the pleasure of hanging out with you a couple times, and you know, the Chicago crew and everything, and it's been nice because, you know, we talk, we hang out, we converse, we.
And you never know what it's going to be like in real life when you meet somebody that you talk to.
Yeah, true. You know, but we're all pretty cool people who just are laid back and just like playing games, and so. It doesn't surprise me that these meetups go so well.
It's true. It's a good bunch of folks, except for one guy.
You keep saying that.
I don't know what's going on there.
I think he's either self-deprecating himself, or he really wants to jab at somebody.
I think he's stirring the pot. I think he's a pot stirrer.
I just think Negative World Meetup 2015, Detroit.
Oh, that's possible. I'd be up
that'll
for
be,
that.
That'll be the last Negative World Meetup. It'll be like six nerds dead on the street corner.
Yeah. Hey. 3DS is on their person. You know what? We have our share of crime down there, but to be fair, if Chicago can survive, then Detroit can survive.
I don't know if you guys do, but Rochester is the violent crime capital of New York State.
Is it really?
Wow.
Yeah, per capita.
We're like
Chicago is the murder capital of something.
All right, let's let Steven wrap
this
up.
I think it is time to wrap this up, guys. I'm glad to hear it was successful, and you know, maybe we can have you guys back for more discussion, you know, on another podcast. Although there is a lot of why are you laughing?
It's just the way you said another podcast, like not this one.
Yeah, this one's got to wrap up a little.
We'll form a separate, less important series.
Well, hey, whatever, if I ever make it to an actual meetup, we have to do, like, a podcast episode while there.
Oh, we talk about that every single time.
Yeah, thank you guys for the, you know, another great podcast, the second in August. I've locked myself into that now. I have to edit this thing fast enough. No, thanks guys for coming by for another show, and anyone out there listening, if you'd like to comment on what you've heard, go to negativeworld.org and, just find the threat associated with this episode. Make your comments. Make your threats. I don't know. Let me know that you want a 10-hour podcast of me droning on about stuff. You know, with all your classic favorites like he likes Golden Sun, but not the third one. Why? And and a Xenoblade Chronicles analysis 2 years after it came out. You know, stuff like that. All the greatest hits.
Nobody's finished it yet, Steven. You're like the first person in the world. You're the third person in the world to finish it after Joe.
Oh, man. The serious creator hasn't even finished it yet. But yeah, so anyway, so, you know, comment, get involved, join the discussion. We'd appreciate it. And if you're not a subscriber and you don't feel like subscribing, that's fine. Just find us through the Facebook page. You just got to search for negativeworld.org. And you can also follow us on Twitter at @negative_world. Thanks again, Joe. Thanks again, Lou, Anand.
Always a pleasure, Steven. If you want to donate to the Negative World podcast, just go to www.patreon.negativeworld. Yeah. you haven't done that yet?
No. But I don't know. I think if you want to donate to Negative World, I think you just got to go to like, the Amazon page and buy something on it. On
then brand. It goes to Andrew.
Well, he is the show. He's
our overlord.
Yeah.
He's our muse.
He is. Anyway, so thank you guys for your energy, despite the technical difficulties and everything. And
thank you for putting it up with it.
Thank you, Steven. Thank you, Joe, that's for updating right. your drivers.
Thank you very much, Joe, for updating your drivers in the middle of the episode.
Awesome.
Thank you, Lou, for the sound effects and the Foley thing.
Hey, no problem.
For the reels, the belching and the the Foley. I like that. And Anand, thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you. I wanted someone to do that. Thank you. All right, guys. You guys have a good one.
Bye.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
On the podcast.
Live from Rochester.
Ninsay.
The old man from Zelda.
Dr. Finkelstein.
And how do you pronounce this, Arnold?
Alec Baldwin. And tonight's musical guest, Coldplay.
With special guest, Presidents of the United States.
Oh, boy.
I thought he chose Coldplay for the band, too. That's so like, perfect. That does fit them, yeah.
He's got such a knack for that.
He's trying to score some songs in a Rihanna album. A lot of competition there.
Guys, why hasn't Nicolas Cage hosted SNL?
He has. Really?
Has he?
I think so.
Really?
He has to have. Come on.
I want to see that.
With Face Off and, what's it, Con Air? Come on.
See, yeah, they just cut this.
There's a Nicolas Cage impression, so don't they usually get the guy himself to...
Well, no, he's been on, I think, as like a random appearance. I don't know if he's ever hosted.
Huh. Google it.